Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hey everybody, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for you guys. How you doing? I'm good. I have a new continent on my shit list.
Oh, okay.
Australia, get out of here. Have we
talked
about
it? I feel like you should have already... No, I honestly would have assumed that you already hated Australia just knowing you, but go ahead. Spell it out for us.
Once again, everything I learn about the world now comes from TikTok because it's the only engagement I have with anything outside of my
mind. I need to download it again. It's just like every day when I go to do it, I'm like, I know this is gonna it's just gonna change my life.
It's a bad idea.
But go ahead.
It's not only that the spiders there are out of control, and we do need to do arachnophobia at some point. We still have not seen that movie.
I remember seeing that as a kid, and I think we saw it in theaters, and the first scene where the spiders fall out of the tree, I screamed so hard that we had to leave. So I think that...
we have to do that movie then.
Yeah.
I remember the trailer just like ruining my life when it would come on as an ad on TV.
So good. What a good movie.
But it's not even just that like the spiders are out of control. The very casual relationship the humans seem to have with the spiders is upsetting. Because it's always... it's like somebody making a video and they're like, LOL. And it's like a spider the size of a baseball mitt on their wall. And they're like, get out of here, buddy. And it's like, move. What?
Well, I guess, you know, we could really all get like used to anything is sort of my first thought.
True.
Second of all, and this is maybe a dumb question. Are the spiders poisonous or are they just very large?
I don't know. My hope is that they're just very large because otherwise people must be dying constantly from spiders.
Ooh. But I'll tell you, there'd be nothing more disconcerting than just sort of seeing a football-sized spider walk around from behind your fridge, even if it's not venomous.
Just that it's there. I mean, that's like
devastating.
That's like if a cat got in. You'd be like, whoa, what? No, this can't be
a cat with eight legs.
A cat with eight legs. Oh, my God.
I don't, again, one of the many things I'm missing on TikTok. I should get back on there.
I mean,
I just don't know. I got other stuff going on.
Yeah, it's a busy.
But that's where people get their information, or more accurately, their misinformation. No, but apparently it's a huge problem and we don't know how to resolve it.
Misinformation is a huge problem. I can only hope that some of the things I'm seeing are misinformation though. Like if the spider stuff isn't real, I'm happy. That's great.
And there is something about, I think recently, like part of the problem with the internet is that it's all ages.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you see stuff like that is clearly fake. And the person replying is 13. So it's like, they don't know. It's not their fault. But it's also like, I shouldn't have to be on the same internet.
Right.
There should be a 30 plus internet that we have to, God, of course they would charge us out the ass for it, but I'd pay for it.
I'd pay for it. That's part of being over 30
internet. Oh God. Is somebody working on that? Let us know if anyone's heard of this new over 30 internet.
Over 30 internet, our dream.
Oh God.
And with you.
I'm okay. I feel like I've reached a new level of gay insanity just in it politically. I feel like more optimistic than ever. I feel more enraged than ever. I feel, and you know, as we look to 2023 as like a year to really establish where we are at as a country ahead of the next election.
Oh boy.
And it's like, unless we fix this stuff, every election cycle is going to be this. That so it's like, in case you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to be motivated. What if things weren't like this every 2 to 4 years, basically, right, is my pitch. How to do that? Well, the journey continues, but I'm excited to be a part of it. Other than that, that's all I have. I bought a chair. Oh, I bought a chair and it's the wrong color and it's ruining my life.
How was it wrong?
Okay, so my living room, I painted pink. Great. And I'll show eventually when I have like things in it, I'll show everybody on the stream, because why not? But I have a lamp, I have an olive green couch, and it's pink walls. So really, I have to stick to green and pink. It could be dark green, even like black. I feel like I can like ground it with neutral colors.
Yeah.
And I was at a store, Allison.
Oh, no.
And I was, they were at it, like it was a vintage secondhand store.
Yeah.
And it was an upholstered office chair. It's like a orangey sunshine marigold yellow.
Okay.
I just don't think I can pull it all together. I don't have it in me. I'm not a colors person. I can't visualize.
I think
it looks insane.
If all the greens are kind of dark and the pink is like soft and everything kind of feels new, like if that one piece is bright, I think that's okay.
I need to have somebody come over and help me, because this is a part of my brain that does not function. So I brought it in like, oh, my life is ruined. but then I was like, oh, I'll put it in the bedroom, because then like people come over, they won't see it. But my bedroom is a light blue and it's an even weirder.
Yeah, that's like
I can pull it off
in the sky.
Yeah, like if I did like a darker blue or like a medium blue, like I feel like there'd be ways to do it, like ground it. But you know, I don't have, my brain is just a rat on a wheel, Allison.
Yeah.
And the rat's like, I don't know how to pull this together. I guess it's the rug. It could be anything.
The rug could be it. The rug is a great start. There is a fashion designer who I follow on Instagram and on TikTok who is really good. We'll fuck up her name, but it's the head designer of Tibi, T-I-B-I.
Okay.
Has great stuff about colors that go, like, colors do and don't go together. And, like, once you see it visually, you're like, I actually understand this and, like, how to, like, put an outfit together. She has a theory for dressing that I feel like might be true for interior design, too. And it's called one ton or none. So either you have one bold color and everything else is neutral. And neutral doesn't mean like black and white. It means like non-color colors. Ton, which is everything is a bright color.
Okay.
Or none. Yes. Amy, Smilovic.
Okay, cool.
We'll post that for people. Really good. She's really, I feel like you could explore her theories on dressing and it might solve some interior design problems.
Yeah, I definitely, it's just one of those things though where it's like, I shouldn't look at it like I've cursed myself with a chair that doesn't fit in. I should look at it as an opportunity to fucking shoot for the moon and somehow, colors. There we go.
There it is. Well, that's exciting.
What else am I doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I've created, at every stage of my life, I've created a huge obstacle.
Yes.
And my latest one is a marigold yellow office chair, which is very comfortable and cute. I'll show it eventually when I have like a room set up, guys, you know, I'll show you on the feed, but also, you know, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
There's just junk all around me. You just can't see it. So
doesn't matter.
speaking about things that exist, but you can't see. Oh, that's,
what
we haven't done an
segue.
Actual okay segue in a while. And that feels right. And that of course is the movie we're doing this week as we continue horny month, horny horror. And that is, of course, the movie From Beyond.
Yeah.
And this is a movie that I'm like, damn, I wish I was. But again, I shouldn't look at it like that. Because I was thinking, I wish I was a little further down my gay journey to have language to talk about my feelings about this movie.
Oh, interesting.
But maybe it means the movie was meant. I was meant to see it at this point so that I can inform my thoughts about this. Yes,
catapult you into the next phase.
And also, we could always, because I was like, maybe I'd love to have a gay person on to talk about this. Not necessarily gay, but a queer person you know, a person who has horror thoughts from a queer perspective. And we could always do that later.
Yeah.
We're allowed to do whatever we want. Nobody
we could do whatever.
Fucking
you can buy a marigold chair. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. And this movie was my marigold chair for, and that chair is getting awful wet.
Oh.
This is a wet movie, Allison.
It seemed wet. Like I got wet from it.
Yeah. It is goopy. All right. We always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what did you think about the trailer for From Beyond?
I mean, when they said in the trailer that it's from I don't know if it's producers or directors or writers of Reanimator, I was like, that tracks. That really all makes sense with like what I'm seeing, the vibe.
Same director. It's the same director, Stuart Gordon, and has two of the same stars. Jeffrey Combs plays one of the protagonists, and he is the lead character in Reanimator, the evil scientist, not the good one. Mm-hmm. He plays Herbert West as Reanimator himself. And then the female lead of From Beyond is the female lead from Reanimator. And it is, of course, the fabulous Barbara Crampton.
Incredible.
And they're both, this movie, it's just like, again, like a movie that perfectly sums up everything that I love about horror movies, which is genuine moments of like, oh no.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And one-liners. Like it, yes. Stuart Gordon, you know, we'll have to do more of his. Those, I mean, Reanimator and From Beyond are sort of his main, or his two bangers that I've seen.
Yeah.
But we'll have to explore more of his oeuvre. And we'll definitely do more of him. And this is a movie that is inspired by the work of H.P. Lovecraft, who has, of course, come up on the pod before. And you have no familiarity with H.P. Lovecraft, right, Allison?
No.
Great. That's totally
None.
Fine.
I don't know anything about anything, so...
Right, but just sort of the themes.
The starting point is zero.
Right. And I think it's sort of like the themes that emerge from H.P. Lovecraft. And again, viciously racist.
Of course.
You know, of his time, but racist at his time as well.
Yeah.
Sort of
H.P. Lovecraft, you're saying.
H.P. Lovecraft, yeah.
That I think I had a sense of.
And I think it's like his overall world building idea is the idea that there's human life. And then there are these sort of interdimensional gods, god monsters that humans worship or interact with. And the way that we access them is either through science or the supernatural. But like, it's the idea of God as a monster, sort of. Or like gods as monsters. Because you'd be like, well, why would somebody want to summon it? Well, it's always some human foible. It's scientific hubris. It's lust. In this case, it's both, which we'll get into, of course, because it's horny month.
It is horny month.
But I feel like it's like that's why he's a horror, you know, sort of a horror voice that people keep going back to because these are such evocative ideas of like, why would a human want to fuck with all this stuff? I don't know. It's just our way.
Yeah.
If there's something that's in the beyond, we're going to want to fuck with it.
Yeah.
We can't get around it, you know?
We're too dumb.
We also like to have take a baseline scary for Allison. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of having a heretofore undiscovered sixth sense?
Ooh.
Not to be mistaken with the sixth sense, which of course is being able to perceive ghosts, but that's
right.
That's
but this is a different one, sensory in nature. I don't want that.
Okay.
Like if most people don't have it, I don't want it.
Yeah.
If all humans
you want to be in the mix.
We all have this, then I'm like, yeah, I'll have it.
Okay,
you know,
but
if we're ordering fries, like, I'll have some. But I don't want to be out here on my own being like, I can do something that's a mix of smell and taste. Like, I don't want that.
And I think it's interesting because the villain in this movie, he really does want everyone to have it.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
now,
no.
what that looks like
that
is a little different, but he does want, and I think that is what I think is interesting, like the messages around like desire in general are so interesting in this movie the idea of a sixth sense. And if you had to have a sixth sense, Allison, what would it be, do you think?
I think I would always know the levels of products I have in my home every time I go to the store. And
that's
great. Like,
that's incredibly smart.
Because I, three times in the last month, was like, you need dish soap. And like every time I went to the store and like I had enough that I was like getting through washing whatever I needed to wash. But like every time I was forgetting. And if there was some kind of sense where I could like definitely be aware of that and like it would always be in the front of my mind and therefore I wouldn't constantly be like getting in the shower and be like, there's no body wash. Like that would be great.
You know, it's funny because, like, I absolutely have that same desire. And I'm like, you know what we're talking about is having a memory.
Yes.
And, like, having a good memory, which neither of us have.
Nope.
And so it does feel like a sixth sense.
Yes.
Because we don't have that. That's
What would you? What would you have? Like,
I was like, oh, I'd love to know when all the food in my fridge was about to go bad because I'm really bad at keeping track of that. Mm-hmm. But that's a similar problem.
That's also just like being engaged with your surroundings,
which is not our strong suit.
No, it is not.
And I'll be honest, I'll say it. Well, I was going to say or color. So I'm like, again, that's vision. We already
color. You are one of the five, it seems.
I wish I just had the senses I was supposed to have. Yeah. If I just had full five senses, I'd be operating.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess I would like to not have glasses.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. My mother has hearing aids and she got it later.
Now too.
But I'll be honest, as I round towards 40, I'm like, I can already sort of tell, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things I might be, that's probably where I'm headed genetically eventually. But then that's an interesting thing to like to when you have to decide it's bad enough mm-hmm. that like, or like that, not bad enough, but like you have to decide
when you're ready for assistance.
Yeah. And that's a very, like, how do you check in with yourself?
It's very hard.
Yeah.
Very hard.
I've talked to you about, again, you have yet to get diagnosed with ADHD. Sorry to bring it up again, but it's like, you know, I feel like we just, our system does not encourage you to just go ask questions of a doctor. Like,
no.
We really are like,
nope.
You better have a fucking eyeball hanging out of that fucking socket before you actually better have a look up.
Pocket full of cash and a lot of time to kill if you want to go see a doctor.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It's like, hope you don't own anything you'd want to lose when you go to the doctor. luckily the homeowner in this film is definitely, well, I gotta say they're not making a lot of money off of their home at the end of it, but I suppose they're dead. So, you know, can you make money from hell, Allison?
I hope so.
Oh God. The dream. Yeah. You get to die and keep working.
Yeah. I'm monetizing hell. I'm definitely going to be an influencer in hell.
I was like, Allison, why is nobody monetizing hell? Like,
nobody's
what are we doing?
Monetizing hell and they should be.
Copyright Allison Limey.
I'm monetizing hell. Speaking of monetizing hell, a terrible segue. We need to announce our next live show while we're here before we get like deeper into whatever we're talking about.
Right. I know. I've explained it so
bleakly. Already.
Well, just remember, it's a lot. It's very gooey. So everything we're talking about, imagine that, but just so gooey. Much more goo. And the movie we're doing for February's live show, we're doing it Sunday, February 26th. It is, of course, the new M. Night Shyamalan movie that just came out, Knock at the Cabin. I have yet to see it. Sabrina, our producer, has seen it. She has a lot of strong feelings about it. I'm going to do something I never do. And even then, am I going to do it? I don't know. It depends on what my bandwidth is. But I'm going to try to read, and of course, by read, I mean listen to on Audible, the movie or the book that Knock at the Cabin is based on.
Oh.
Which is The Cabin at the End of the World by Paul G. Tremblay, because I do think it's interesting to see differences between the book and the movie. And
always.
If we have damn near a month, I could pull it off.
I think
and
you can
if
do
I
it.
Don't, I apologize. Thank you for your support.
I believe in you. So tickets will be coming if you're a $20 Patreon member. Those will be in your inbox the day before or something like that. And if not, get a ticket at moment.co/ruined. I think that's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, just put that on your calendars because we're excited for it.
Thank you.
And now back to the goo.
Yeah. So get ready. Get ready.
Ready for goo.
Because here comes goo. Ooh. Allison, would you like to guess the twist in from Beyond?
Guess the twist.
I don't even really have a sense of like the plot of the movie from the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched it like 40 minutes ago now. So I forget what happened.
Oh my God, this is tough.
This is bad.
Are we in purgatory? Are we dead and we're in purgatory? God. No, I mean, I'm the same way.
I know,
like, we're not well women and
we're
doing
well
nothing
women.
To improve our
you know
situation.
What? And we've never claimed to be.
No, we would never lie to you.
Give me a log line first.
Okay.
I know it's science and it's gooey.
Okay. A man is accused of killing his boss, a prominent scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to prove that he's innocent, his supervising scientist counselor and a police sergeant have to return to the scene of the crime and prove whether or not they have invented a device that can see the beyond. And the beyond being just whatever this movie establishes.
I'm going to guess that an entity in the beyond actually killed the guy and created the device, and it's all a trap.
Ooh, Great. And then just to take another baseline scary real quick, how do you feel about the concept of the beyond?
Bad.
Ooh, I don't like
it. Anything is the beyond to me. Something that happened 5 minutes ago is like technically part of the beyond. How did we start this podcast? I forget.
Well, like you said, all the big spiders in Australia. I think part of what it hits so wrong about that is that it feels of the beyond.
It does feel of the beyond. For us. It feels extraterrestrial, not of this world. Yeah, I don't want it. I barely fine with the current.
The Bed Bath. The year. And also, Bed Bath & Beyond is closing. So it's like we don't even get to see the concept. The Beyond is a helpful concept, I think.
Too many coupons.
Luckily, you won't need coupons for this movie. You'll need goopons. I don't know. Let's begin. Ruining from Beyond. So we open on Dr. Crawford Tillinghurst.
Nope.
Already love it.
That
iconic.
Is incredible naming.
And that is, of course, Jeffrey Combs, the star of Reanimator, his skill is going, dear God. Yes. And boy, he's great at it.
Great skill.
We see him typing away on his computer, and he is in the attic of a home where there is essentially a gigantic room-sized computer on every wall. Hmm. And in the middle is a human-sized device with sort of big, gigantic pitchfork-sized metal prongs around a globe. So when you look at it, the large globe is sort of at face height. As he's typing frantically on his computer, suddenly the screen blinks the word ready. And he goes, it's happening. And he runs downstairs to find his boss, Dr. Edward Pretorius.
His name.
And I mean, incredible. And he runs and said, it's working, the device. Unfortunately, they run back up. And when they do, the purple globe is emitting a magenta light. This is very bisexual lighting. Everything about lighting this movie is so good. And in the glowing magenta light, we see these images of sort of floating eels. And suddenly the eel attacks Crawford, biting him in the face.
Like a real eel.
Yes. So something that looks like it's going to be a hologram.
But it's
and then suddenly it latches onto his face. He rips it off.
I hate eels.
However, his boss, Edward Pretorius, you know, he's screaming, the resonator. That's the name of the device, Allison.
Okay, obviously.
Crawford says, oh my God, the resonator, the new program, it works just like you said. Okay. I want to take a minute to tell you what Dr. Pretorius is wearing, which is an open black silk robe with a gold chain.
Was he at home?
So that's the thing, Allison. Because this is an H.P. Lovecraft story, I think back in the day it was like, sure, we're just two bachelor scientists who bought a house and have a big computer in the attic and we live in the house.
Sure.
I don't think... Like, no funding body now. Like, a universe. I just don't think you could have that kind of setup. Yes. The original hype house. The horror house. The horror hype house. Absolutely.
Well, we got to write one of those.
And you don't see him the waist down, but the vibe of this movie is his dick might just be out. Unclear. And I wanted to ask you, because he is, it's Ted Sorrell is the name of the actor who is a gray fox, a silver fox. Allison, have you ever dated an older man? Because I saw him, like, I think Allison would like this guy. Is that weird to say?
I haven't, like, dated.
Something to think about.
Older men.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, I think dating could be the most broad
version. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, when I was in my 20s, I, like, went out with some guys in their 30s. But, like, even that didn't feel, like, too...
No, I think you got to have a little, like, now...
Everybody still have, like, their... Like brown hair.
Yes. And I think at our big age, you have to be someone in their 50s, I think.
I think
40s,
so.
That's just the 40s. Next decade.
I, like, we're in, like, that's...
We are.
You're 9 months older than me.
This is 40.
Oh, no.
Of course, Crawford screams, we have to shut it down. But he turns to his boss, who's sort of standing in the vibrating magenta glow, and he's already so horny. And he just moans, like, do you feel it? And he's sort of shuddering. Meanwhile,
Crawford... After he got bit by the eel?
So Crawford is the one who got bit by the eel. Okay. Pretorius arrived, and he didn't have to get bit by the eel.
He's all jazzed up.
He's jazzed, right?
He is jazzed.
Crawford, having been bit by the eel from beyond, screams, shut it off. Like, this is out of control. Like, yeah, we can't control this. And Pretorius, again, sweating, writhing, says, no, can't you feel it, Crawford? The mind, I want more. And Crawford screams, Edward, it's running itself. Pretorius turns to him and says, there's something coming. Yeah, and then we get a shot from outside the house, and we see the blackened windows of the attic just start exploding with magenta light coming out. Okay. And we cut to their neighbor. It's like a middle-aged woman with her holding her dog, calling the cops, being like, I'd like to report something. It's like, what are you going to tell the cop?
What would you report?
I want to report something from beyond. Like, I mean, they're not coming out.
No.
But she says, the last time I called, you said you'd send a squad car if there was a disturbance. And, well, I'm disturbed. Wouldn't you know it, Allison? Her little dog, whose name is Bunny, runs out of her arms and then runs across the street and straight into the From Beyond house. This damn dog.
I mean.
So she has to go in her curlers. That's true. In her curlers and nightgown, has to go across the street and into this strange house where she just saw the windows explode and magenta lights shoot out. Mm-mm. And she has to make her way up to the top of the second floor landing. Suddenly, an axe just fucking explodes through the door from the other side.
Oh, boy.
And Crawford emerges having to escape, axed his way through the door. He basically shoves past the neighbor and runs outside.
Okay.
And she's screaming, where is my dog? Allison, where is the dog? We see her. That's right. She's in the attic.
Oh.
And she's licking the
no
bloody stump
no
of Pretorius's headless neck.
Oh.
Allison, something from beyond just happened. So, of course, we find ourselves then in a mental institution.
Understandably.
And we see our head psychiatrist, Dr. Block, and she's meeting with Jordan Fields from the DA's office and Dr. Catherine McMichaels, played by the wonderful Barbara Crampton. They are there basically to have Barbara Crampton be an expert to weigh in whether or not Crawford can stand trial. They think you beheaded your boss, you're lying about...
Okay, I see.
The device, you're lying about the eels, because he seems insane. You know, like they think, he lost touch with reality. We're just seeing whether or not he could go to trial. And Dr. Block knows Dr. McMichaels is like, oh my gosh, I love your work.
Michaels is such a perfect name.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, Catherine movie. McMichaels.
Catherine McMichaels, like a doctor. Yeah. It's perfect.
And of course, she has her hair up and glasses. And believe me, that hair is going to come down and she's not going to need her glasses after a certain point. Okay. It's Barbara Crampton. If you're hot enough, you could just see without glasses. I believe that.
I believe that.
At least in the 80s.
Where it's like, I'll just take these off.
I let your hair down. It's like, my God.
How could I have ever imagined what you would look like this? Like, I guess you and I probably can't.
No. Absolutely not. We're not good at
it. My brain doesn't do that.
I don't know, guys. Things are devolving quickly.
Not good.
And in response to Dr. Block saying, I love your work, Michael says, if you've read my work, then you know I'm not in favor of locking away schizophrenics. And Dr. Block says, oh, I know you're not. I know you're in favor of experimenting on them like lab animals. And then they were just like at each other's throat about the treatment of schizophrenics. And Jordan Fields from the DA's office has to say, ladies, let's not get into a female pissing contest about how we treat schizophrenics.
Oh.
But that it will be a through line of the movie. And he tells Dr. Block, you know, we're just going to come in. Dr. McMichaels wants to assess Crawford, and that's it. And so Dr. Block, even though her backs up about like her methods, takes Dr. McMichaels into the ward. And we sort of get like your classic dehumanizing look into the different rooms of the different mentally ill people and be like, oh, and like, one guy's sobbing and trying to talk to God. And there's another guy screaming. And there's one that she looked at and the guy's just jerking off. Like he's faced away from the door and he looks around and she looks really startled. It's like, you were looking in his window.
Right. Why is he somehow in the wrong here for being in a private room doing something privately?
Right. Also, like, what are you supposed to do in there? Like, I can't imagine.
I'd be so bored. It's all I would do.
Yeah, like grow up. If you look at a little window, you might see someone masturbating. You need to be an adult about it, okay?
You're a scientist,
woman. So Dr. Block opens Crawford's room and Dr. McMichaels introduces herself and says, you know, I was reading about your work at Miskatonic University, which is the fictional university from the H.P. Lovecraft universe. Sure. And she said, you know, it's really quite impressive. And what was the purpose of your experiments with Dr. Pretorius? And Crawford tells her that their intent was to stimulate the pineal gland mm-hmm. with resonant vibrations mm-hmm. because Dr. Pretorius thought the pineal gland was a new sensory organ and could be used to have a sixth sense. Allison, have you ever heard the pineal gland before?
I know it's a real gland.
Yes. And it is
don't know what it's responsible for.
Well, apparently it controls a lot of different things. Again, this is solely based on Wikipedia. We're looking at melatonin. So we're talking about sleep patterns.
Yep.
You know,
oh, that's where it's come up for me for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Then that makes sense. And it does sort of have a history in the human experience of people trying to understand its function. How does it work? How it relates sort of the rest of the brain. And some of those ideas, I think, are sort of what we're nodding to. And they say in the movie, you know, Descartes thought that it was sort of the third eye. And essentially, we would use it to perceive things that we couldn't perceive through our other senses. Mm-hmm. His argument that that's essentially where the soul is. And that we, as our body and soul, like, experience God, and the pineal gland was sort of part of it, which I think is fun. And look, I'm not saying that that isn't possible. Allison, your thoughts?
None.
Okay,
I like
great.
Blacked out while you were talking because it got complicated.
Yeah, we need to go to a hospital. I mean, Allison, this is, we barely got started this movie.
I know.
Anywho, it is an interesting concept. And basically, it's like if we stimulate the pineal gland, we could sort of perceive things outside of our range of perception. And maybe think about how there's that one shrimp that can see like colors,
like
10 times more colors than us. And I'm like, as a human with a very limited understanding, again, of color, I'm like, how did they know? How do they know?
We barely like, I mean, like every 20-year-old is like, how do you know the blue I see isn't the blue you see? Like, it's like,
oh,
you're
God,
there.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. How do I know that
like,
the 10,000 colors of shrimp sees
even look like?
How would the shrimp know to tell us? How would the shrimp know to tell
like
us?
The snakes with the clits.
Right. Yeah.
Even they have two. They found that it's two.
Thank God for snakes. You have to be a snake.
Yeah.
Good for them. Yeah, they're pulling ahead.
I'm happy for them.
I'm voting snakes 2024.
Yes.
But he's saying, you know, Dr. Michael says, yeah, that's a very interesting theory. And Crawford says, it's not a theory. It's the truth. We saw creatures, these things swimming in the air, and they're around us all the time. And she says, are the creatures here right now?
Oh, no.
And he says, yes, but we can only see them and they can only see us when the resonator's on. And it sort of creates these vibrations that affect essentially the dimensions we live in.
I know that this won't like make anyone feel better, but I'm like, I understand that.
Like, no, that actually, I feel really good about that. No,
that
Allison, lean into that.
That makes sense to me. My brain can process that concept.
Awesome. That's perfect. He says, when the resonator's on, it creates vibrations. That's why I have to destroy the machine because it came and it ate him. It bit off his head. And then he says, like a gingerbread man. Oh. As if we didn't know like what something
your
biting
head.
The head off something would be like.
I don't understand why they're not like all like, we should just destroy it anyway, because clearly something happened.
Just destroy it because you have to rent that house out. Like realistically, someone would just unplug that shit and throw it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is the room where the beyond is there. It's
yeah,
mostly
probably
electronics.
More for all the beyond. Yeah. You know, you get free beyond with the house. So really, we should be charging you for it. But of course, Dr. Block, as they do in every mental facility, as soon as the person who they think is mentally ill raises their voice, she calls in the orderlies to physically restrain him, even though he's not doing anything. And as she and McMichaels leave, and they hear him screaming, I saw it, I'm telling you. And Dr. Block's basically like, see, I told you, he's schizophrenic. And Dr. McMichaels says, I'd like to get him a CAT scan just to like check for anything that may have been going on.
Smart.
We don't know what their machines
Reasonable.
Did. Yeah. Of course, Dr. Block says, ugh. You've seen what you need to see. And McMichael starts where it says, there's always more to see. Every line in this movie made
Incredible.
Me so happy. So they get a CAT scan. You've had a CAT scan, right, Allison?
Yeah, many.
Me too. I hated it. It was unpleasant.
Oh, I don't like any of the imaging that we do.
Scans? You don't love being scanned
I don't love
by
scans.
A doctor? that's fair. You don't like being put in a machine.
Yeah.
And of course, Crawford's also panicking, and they slide him in. and they all gasp because his pineal gland is huge and it's so big it's growing through the optic thalamus. And so Dr. Block says, oh my God, like that must be a tumor and it's causing him to physically hallucinate. You were
very
right.
Logical.
But Dr. McMichael says, I actually don't think that's a tumor. I think it's the actual pineal gland, which means like his experiment was working. So it's like, yes. Was this growth making them experience what seemed like schizophrenic symptoms?
Sure. Yeah.
And if so, we should basically run the experiment again to see what happens. So that's going to be, you know, this is where Jordan Fields from the DA's office, Brutson says, hey, I don't understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. But my question is, where is Dr. Pretorius's head?
A great question.
And Block says, okay, regardless of the head question, I am not letting you fucking run an experiment that may or may not have caused my patient to grow a tumor or cause his pineal gland to grow out of control and cause hallucinations.
Right.
And she's basically like,
I know your methods, the girl wonder. You use your patients so you can make your great discoveries. At least here we try to cure them.
But then McMichaels has to sort of butter her up and say, like, if you let me run the experiment, I'll tell you what happened. And I will give that information to the DA. We'll get this resolved. And
okay.
Jordan Fair. Fields says, great. I don't actually give a fuck about this guy because I'm a police officer, so I don't care. So I just want you to give me information so I can convict this person and put them in prison for a murder. Spoiler alert, he did not commit.
Yes.
So in one of these classic movie moments, they release Crawford, who again, they believe has decapitated his boss, into McMichael's custody.
Sure.
But he, of course, says, I'm not going to help you run the experiment. I just saw it and told you about it. Why the fuck would we be doing this?
He's like, I don't need to go through that again.
Yeah. But she says, look, I believe you. I want to see what you saw. We do it once. We have the information. I will testify it. And you will not have to go to prison for the rest of your life. And so he's kind of between a rock and a hard place. A rock and a very wet place in a second. And he agrees. Unfortunately for this gentleman we're about to meet, they're because he is, again, the murder suspect, they're going to be accompanied to the home by Sergeant Buford Brownlee. And he said, introduced himself, my teammates call me Bubba. I used to play NFL. Mm-hmm. And he also assumes Crawford is the doctor, but then sort of like corrects when McMichael says, actually, I'm the doctor. He is the accused. Mm-hmm. But regardless, they all get in a van, Scooby-Doo style, and they go back to the house, and it's on Benevolent Street, which I loved.
Perfect. The naming of everything is just artistic.
Yeah. So they see the house, and they're Bubba and McMichaels are loading things into the house. Crawford panics and is sort of can't go inside. McMichael tells him, if what you're saying is true, then in order for us to know, in order for you to move past this, you have to move on. And so he steps inside. And of course, the power's out because of the disaster, the existential dimension-wide catastrophe that just happened. And Bubba immediately trips over a bunch of electrical cables. Crawford says, oh, I'm sorry, I had to rewire the entire house to get enough power to the machinery. Of course, they look away and it's dark. They look away for one damn minute and Crawford escapes into the house. So they've already lost him in the house.
Yeah.
Bubba and McMichaels, they run down into the basement and they throw the circuit breaker. Luckily, it still works. And they run all the way back up to the second floor because they hear from a room a woman screaming and moaning. Who? And they enter Pretorius's room. And I guess we're to think like he had this on when the power went out.
I see.
And it is his room where he sleeps is a full S&M room. Great. Right. In the most 80s way possible, where it's like red. So it's not even the classic, like black, the chic S&M.
No, it's
so
like
classic.
It's heightened.
It's red leather. That, like, it's not even like an oxblood. It's like that dead, red. Dull red from the 80s. Yeah. And there is this fabulous poster of like a woman pulling her panties down. And we're talking chairs, we're talking chains, we're talking cuffs. And then a video that I guess he was watching of himself flogging a woman. And I think what's really interesting is sort of, immediately they're like we as viewers are supposed to be aroused by this. I mean, it's shot in that way, but they are reacting to like, that's crazy. And it's like, well, you're in the movie with it. I don't know. You're going to have to be interacting with these concepts here in a minute.
Yeah. This was your boss.
And Bubba said, oh, like, as if Crawford didn't know his boss fucking sleeps in the S&M dungeon. Right. Like, grow
they
up.
Share the house.
You had to rent. He had to bring that shit in. Right. He had to get that shit shipped over.
Right. You never knocked on his door to be like, hey, I'm going to order a pizza. Do you want in on this? And like, you would have, you knew what was going on in there.
He didn't have headphones and he would have heard the screaming when he was watching his own porno tapes that he made in the room you're standing in. Anywho, Bubba at least has the most salient take where he says, wow, he was into some pretty weird shit, huh? And Michael says, I don't care about his private life. That's not why we're here.
Okay.
They continue up the stairs to the attic where, you know, again, all the machinery is. And we see Crawford in the dark holding an axe. And as soon as they turn on the light, Crawford runs over screaming and swings it at the resonator. His thing is, if I'm here, I'm going to fucking break this shit down. But Bubba restrains him. And we see that the reason that the resonator isn't working is that there's like one of the big metal forks, like it's like a tuning fork.
Sure.
Fell off the machine.
Oh, well.
So
once your tuning fork falls off, no more beyond.
Your resonator is not going to work. There's not going to be enough vibrations to be attacked by eels. And then why even have a resonator?
What's the point if you can't get your face bit by an eel before your boss gets decapitated while he was in the middle of jerking it? Like what?
Yeah. And I would say bring a book at that point.
Yeah.
But McMichaels calms Crawford down and says, you know what? Let's just start tomorrow. How about that? We'll start in the morning. We can relax. But he says no. He picks up the metallic fork and he goes, I've already started. So Bubba makes like a delicious dinner. I don't know if it was like chicken and dumplings or what it was, but it was like a delicious stew. It's like, wow. Like he came out of the gate with a homemade stew. He makes dinner and then he sort of just stands guard. He's always armed. Mm-hmm. Though, as I say that, does he ever take his gun out? Damn, I think he might not. We'll get through it.
Okay.
Also, can you shoot the beyond? Maybe they didn't want to get into the weeds about
it. Right, you pull a gun on that eel. What's even happening?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So he makes dinner and they stand in guard while Crawford works on the resonator and Michael's working at the desk, but she falls asleep on the desk. And Bubba's like, wow, that's a beautiful woman, huh?
Oh, no.
And Crawford says, you know, Pretorius would bring the most beautiful women back and wine and dine them. But every night ended in screaming. He wanted too much. Don't kink shame the beyond.
No.
The idea in this is that like S&M exists solely for men to dominate women non-consensually.
Right.
And as a queer person who's been doing some queer reading, I think we have to engage with the fact that women like fucked up things too.
Yeah.
And that's not to say those dynamics can't be fucked up, obviously.
Right. But it's like, let's hope that all, like, let's not assume that any of those encounters or relationships are grounded in something unsafe and unwanted.
And we just to immediately assume that, again, it's the 80s. So I feel it's like, 80s. And also it's like, we're saying that. And then, but also you're providing it to us to be titillated by.
Right.
Which to me is like, I think we have to be a little more honest about, like, there are plenty of straight people who engage in these practices.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of queer people. And a lot of it has to do with, like, nuanced conversations of consent.
Yes.
So it's just interesting to see this where it's like, I feel like maybe we're a little bit past this where it's like, can you imagine such a thing? Yeah, I've seen 50 Shades of Grey, man. Yeah. Like, I think this is actually pretty common. But to be like, can you believe it? It's like, I believe he's depraved because about what's about to happen.
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of other information about his depravity that feels clear to me.
But again, that's me. I'm bringing my own stuff to
it. Of course. So that's, and you know, we're talking about this from, you know, 40 years later.
Exactly. And so he sort of says this, and the idea is, you know, the, like he wanted too much sensation, too much pleasure. Like he was beyond, he went beyond, you know, the limits of human sensation, you know. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, McMichaels wakes back up and they get the resonator back in working order. And he turns it on. He's about to turn it on. He says, do not fucking move. If you move, once the vibrations start, essentially it creates like a ripple. So the things on the other side of this, it'll attract them. Like the old, it's sort of like the Jurassic Park of it.
Yeah.
Like just stay still and the T-Rex won't see you. And in this case, the T-Rex is some very wet guy who's going to show up.
Wet guy.
And Bubba is, again, is the person who's outside to ask a great question, which is, are we really ready to do this? Are we ready for this?
Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like anybody prepped.
But Dr. McMichael says, we have to do it. And so they throw the switch And Crawford and McMichaels are immediately horny for each other. So I think it is like, it stimulates their pineal gland, which also is like stimulating them sexually. And they're like, oh, ah, ooh. And then Bubba turns and sees all these floating eels and jellyfish and does what I know what I would do. And I understand this character's motivation.
Okay.
Literally reaches up to try to poke one because it doesn't look real. It looks like a hologram.
I would want to like establish, like,
yes,
is this really here? Touching is the only way that I can confirm.
And the same thing would happen to us if we did it, which is one of the jellyfish grabs onto his arm by its nasty little wet mouth.
No.
With little nasty pointy teeth, Allison.
No.
And Crawford's head snaps up and he says, something's coming. Unfortunately, it is Dr. Pretorius, and he sort of emerges out of the shadows in the corner of the attic. He is totally nude and covered in goo.
Is his whole body slimy. There?
His whole body's there, and he looks, at this point, he looks like a normal human man.
Okay.
He just looks like he's covered in lube, basically.
Yeah.
And he sort of steps out of the shadow of the attic, and he says...
Not to lube.
He immediately says... Yeah, oh no, like a shout out to lube.
Pro if lube, there's a
lube
always.
Company who would like to sponsor
we
us...
We will happily take a lube sponsorship. I'm just saying, like, head to toe, not my dream.
It's tough. It's tough. Look. And as soon as he comes out of the shadow, he says, who is this lovely young woman? It's like, okay, you're
out
dead.
Come on.
Yeah. And Crawford gasps. He's like, I saw you die. And Pretoria says, no, I didn't die. I just went beyond, which is even worse. It's like, I wouldn't even know what that means.
No. I'd rather you admitted that you were dead.
Right. Hell, heaven. I understand those concepts. Beyond? Crawford asks, could it really be you? And Pretorius reaches his arms out and he says, touch me if it pleases you, if it helps you understand.
Too wet.
And Crawford reaches over and touches his shoulder and his fingers sink into his shoulder like it's wet clay.
No.
Like his body is made of sopping wet clay. Yeah. And of course, Pretorius has a reaction, which you think, which is laughing hysterically.
Oh, of course. That's obviously what would happen.
And he tells them, it's just the body, but my mind is indivisible. And so he, of course, rips off his own face. And he's laughing. And he says, bodies change. And as he does, like, the muscles of his face sort of individually start to reach out like tentacles.
No, no. Then is that like what Beyond is? I have no interest in going.
That's the Bed Bath and Beyond of it, Allison. It's a lot of tentacles, and it's extremely wet in the Beyond. So his face turns into tentacles. We got that. And then his head tears open. I was trying to remember, like you know, hamburger and hot dog style, where it's like a hot dog is when you fold it narrow ways and a hamburger is when you fold it width. Do you know this is like from elementary school, obviously?
Yeah.
So his head rips open hot dog style and a geyser of fluid shoots out.
I don't know why you needed to bring hamburger and hot dog into it. You could have just said like vertically, like it opens like a book.
I remember the word vertically. Grow up. So my dictionary.
So his wet skinless head opens hot dog style.
Yeah, so it opens on a vertical axis. And then, like I said, a geyser of pink fluid shoots out.
No.
And then, like, a huge fleshy tentacle shoot out of, like, essentially his neck stump.
Oh, God.
Luckily,
I'm also now imagining the hamburger.
Yeah, the hamburger is from Beyond, I think. So Crawford runs to the machine, he shuts it off, and thank God, and so everything disappears. And he tells them that will be quite enough of that. And they're all left in the attic shaking, and Bubba turns and vomits. Allison, at this point in the movie, what do you think you would do?
What would you do?
I'm out of there. I am not sticking around to see anything else. If I'm assuming I'm Catherine McMichaels, Dr. Catherine McMichaels.
Oh, you are. You're put together. You have glasses. You will go beyond the bounds of what this reality can give you. So,
all right. Well, that's where our similarities end. I'm turning around, running away, driving as far away as possible, and starting a new life somewhere else. This is not, I don't want anything to do with this. And I'm not going to be like, this case is too much for me, but I'm going to keep working at this. No, I'm gone. I'm in another country. I am not interested in being anywhere near this.
Yeah, you just buy like the cheapest ticket and you run to the airport, you get on the plane and you look down and it's going to the beyond.
Oh God. You're like, is this direct?
You have to stop over in Milwaukee for 4 hours before you get to beyond.
But you don't, you have to go because it's one of those things where it's like, you paid this price. If you don't get on the plane, we charge you more.
Oh, absolutely. But good luck at your luggage in the beyond.
Well, I just packed a bunch of wet goo. Was that what I was supposed to bring or do they have it there?
Oh, you know what? They have it, but it tastes different. Okay, so I think it'll enjoy both.
Local goo. All right.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
In the morning, Dr. McMichaels is ecstatic because she saw for the first time and was like, oh my God.
Yes.
You really invented something incredible. Like, what does this mean? Crawford is horrified, but he also feels like he's basically like, I saw Pretorius get eaten by something, and now he seems like he's become that thing that ate him. Like, he is now an entity that is one with the beyond. And McMichaels is not acknowledging that part. Like, McMichaels is so thrilled about the scientific hubris.
Yeah.
Well, when I invoke the beyond, it'll be totally fine. Like, yes. The goo will help me. And she says, basically, I want to do a study of schizophrenics to see if their pineal gland is enlarged. Because what if, you know, we think they're hallucinating? What if they actually are seeing the beyond?
Like, I can't live in that world.
I mean, an interesting question. And Bubba says, okay, but then what about the hard-on I got? And McMichael says, because she and Crawford also were aroused, says, well, I mean, the pineal gland helps regulate sexual arousal as well. So maybe by stimulating the pineal gland, we're also being sexually aroused.
Makes sense.
And Bubba says, okay, great. I feel like we have now proven that he is innocent. So then we could go home.
Yes.
But also, when we tell them, they're going to think we're crazy too.
Correct.
And McMichael says, you're right. That's why we have to run it one more time. And luckily, Crawford and Bubba have the decency to say, what the fuck are you talking about? And Crawford immediately clocks, this is what happened to Pretorius. Like, once he realized what could be happening, he was like, we have to keep doing this. Like, it's like a feedback loop.
No.
It stimulates your pineal gland, and your pineal gland kind of like it's wants like, to
more
see.
Of that, please.
Yes. And so he's like, this is how he started. And I feel like you're talking like him. What are you talking about? You know, but she really puts the hard breath and she says, my father was a schizophrenic. He was locked away in an asylum for decades. Oh, they pumped him full of drugs. He died in there.
Okay. If there is something she's so invested in schizophrenia research.
Exactly. And she's like, if I could prevent anyone else's father, anyone else's loved one by revealing that this is some other thing, we could actually treat them or figure it out. So can you help me? And Crawford says, help you take your mind and shatter it. And he slams his coffee cup on the ground.
Amazing.
Oh, I just want to hurl a coffee cup.
Ugh.
I want to go to one of those places where you beat up, you break dishes with a bat.
But yeah. I don't even need to go crazy and like take a sledgehammer to a toilet. Like I just want to.
Oh, that sounds like heaven. But
I just want to throw a mug or a plate as hard as I can against a wall.
Yeah.
Like,
when
I'm
getting
the
LA,
worst
we gotta have places
in, like
that.
A dramatic movie. Like,
yeah, we should get like a Just Divorced sashes and go and just, now that you said that, I really want to bust up a toilet with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, that actually does sound fun.
Ooh. But needless to say, he's really upset. And Bubba agrees and says, I'm not going to let you turn it on. If you turn that on again, that's reckless endangerment. Like, you know this is dangerous. You're creating a situation where people can be murdered. Mm-hmm. I'll fucking arrest you. I don't give a fuck.
I'm with him.
And McMichael says, well, let's just get some rest. And Bubba says, all right, let's get some rest, but then we're leaving. And what I love about that is it's already the morning. It is the morning this whole time. She's cooking eggs at the beginning of the scene. They could leave right now.
Right now.
Allison, they're not gonna. McMichaels goes to sleep and she wakes up. And of course, she has a headache right where her pineal gland would be.
Well, got a lot of activity last night.
She creeps back up the stairs to the resonator. And just being around it, she sort of feels that pineal gland is popping off, you know? Down in the S&M room, which Crawford is sleeping in, he sort of is twitching in his sleep. And Bubba's also like writhing around. McMichaels turns on the machine because her pineal gland wants her to, basically. She has a hard-on for pineal stimulation. Luckily, it immediately wakes up Crawford, who runs up the stairs and says, turn it off! No! What are you doing? Yeah. But McMichaels turns and has the same thing that Pretorius has, which is, she says, I need to see more. I need to feel more. No. And she grabs Crawford and kisses him. But of course, he pushes her away and says, we have to stop. And certainly, they, of course,
well,
they
hear
laughter.
Well, that makes it hotter.
Stop? Okay. But yeah, absolutely. It's only going to drive her wild. Unfortunately, they hear Pretorius's laugh behind them. And he says, don't stop. Do you see now what I created? Allison, they turn. And so basically one half of his body is still the wet human half. The other is like a growing tumor-like mass of roiling flesh. And it is wet as hell. You thought it was wet earlier.
This is wetter?
It is wetter. It's like the, you know when people get like ultrasounds? Mm-hmm. They have like that thick goo.
Yes.
It's that. That's where we're at. Like the goo budget, the wetness budget in this movie must have been out of control.
They must have just like teamed up with a lube company and been like, just give us.
That would have been smart.
A swimming pool's worth of lube. And we're going to use it for a few scenes.
When we write the reboot, we are absolutely going to be sponsored by a lube company. Yes. It's just smart. Also, yes. It supports people having excellent sex. Crawford says,
Edward, my God, what have you become?
I love this movie.
Wow. Just like line after line.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he then grabs McMichaels by the throat and sort of drags her over and he rips off her blouse and reaches his hand up to grab her boob and his fingers are growing and he goes, smell, taste, touch. Crawford, thinking quickly, doesn't even shut off the machine. He runs down to the basement to shut off the fucking circuit breaker.
Yeah.
Bubba at first tackles him, thinking he's escaping, but then Crawford says, she turned it on, it's back. Bubba joins him.
Okay.
And there's also something where, like, she's already got her tits out, and then Bubba is waking up. So, I'm sorry, I should say this actress now that I'm talking about him being practically nude. Ken Foree, also in Dawn of the Dead. So he wakes up, he is wearing the littlest briefs, the 80s briefs.
Yeah.
So now we're introducing like more and more nudity. Like her titties are out. She's practically
more
nude.
Nudity. I knew it was horny month and I still was just like not, I didn't see any of this coming.
Yeah, I couldn't be more thrilled about it. And they run down to the basement. You wouldn't believe it, Allison. And Crawford goes, oh my God, the vibrations must go all the way down here. It is flooded. So the basement is full of water.
With goo? Water.
You know, it's water, but I wish it had been goo. It's probably just logistically too difficult to get that much goo.
Expensive,
let's be honest.
I would imagine.
And out from under the water rears up a gigantic lamprey eel.
No!
Huge, like 30 feet long, rears back up. Bubba, thinking quickly, runs up to get a butcher's knife from the kitchen and runs back down because then it starts stabbing the eel because they cannot get to the circuit breaker. They are like, we are going to be thwarted. So now they have to murder a gigantic lamprey eel, which is trying to kill them. Upstairs, McMichaels is fighting Pretorius and screams, what are you going to do to me? And he tells her, I'm going to kiss you. And then out of his skull shatters, Allison. And then like sort of a horrible, disgusting, monstrous mouth emerges and grabs her by the top of the head.
One mouth for every, one mouth, just one mouth. No extra mouths, no more mouths, no secondary mouths.
And this was a question we asked on Teeth. Would you rather have two vaginas or two mouths?
Or
would you rather have a vagina or a mouth, Allison?
Oof.
I know.
You know, I really like eating and I think I do it more often than I come. So,
okay. I hear what you're saying.
So like just from a, if it's an either or.
Yeah.
I think I got to go mouth.
You know, I just feel like if I had a couple more years of being gay under my belt, I could have gone mouth, but I'm at a point where I'm going to go vagina. It's really measuring a level of what will be more frustrating. Mm. Right. And I think I'm going to keep my vagina and then be constantly frustrated because I cannot talk, which I talk incessantly.
Yeah. It's like I don't shut up. So maybe I should choose vagina because it would be better for other people.
Listen, there's no right answer.
There is,
you know,
not
that's
a right
what
answer.
This
only wrong
is about.
Answers,
there's,
really.
Yeah, there are only wrong answers. So anywho, what are the wrong answers? I'm going to kiss you. And by kiss, he means my gigantic second monster mouth is going to grab you by the head and start sucking you into its maw.
That's meanwhile, not kissing.
That's, sir, that's not kissing at all. In the basement, the giant lamprey eel grabs Crawford and also starts sucking him in, like, up to his waist before Bubba is finally able to throw the circuit breaker, shutting off the machines. But Crawford is...
eel?
The eel disappeared, too.
Okay.
So Pretorius gone, eel gone. As soon as the machine is off,
yes,
they no longer can have any power.
Okay.
So you'd think that means they would leave the house, Allison.
Yeah, you'd have the house. Destroy the machine.
Not quite yet. Not quite yet, my friend. So Crawford is now covered in bruises and what looks like a horrible rash. He also has no hair or eyebrows. Like the eel basically sucked the hair off of his head. Which, again, I love. What a great decision.
Yes.
And they take him into the S&M room and put him on the bed. And she...
here, calm down in here.
Also, there are other bedrooms. There are at least two. We saw Bubba and McMichael sleeping in them. You take him to the S&M room. And she starts putting lotion on, like, his horrible rash. And I was like, what? What rash? How do you treat a rash from beyond? And McMichael apologizes to Bubba for turning on the machine and says, I'm sorry. I should have waited till I was alone. He's like, what are you talking about?
What is anyone talking? What?
And she said, no. Like, once you guys leave, I'll be able to be alone. And if it's just me, then no one else will be in danger, which is thoughtful.
I guess.
But he says, I'll be honest. You might be a scientist, lady, but right now you're acting like a junkie. And that's what it is. Like, he could tell that it's like,
you're,
I'm not doing this for science anymore. Yeah. I'm doing it because I have my pineal gland has a fucking hard on for the beyond and I need access to it.
Wow.
And he says, I am packing up our shit, get dressed, because she's still like in her nightgown, get dressed, get him dressed. We are taking him back to the Institute. We prove this twice over. I will testify to this in court, pack your shit. And then he starts taking things out to the van, right? Wouldn't you know it? McMichael's pineal gland, unfortunately, is still hard as a fucking rock. So she starts exploring the S&M equipment. And there is something where it's like the pineal gland as like penis, but also vagina, like as this like horniness that is from beyond. Like, everyone is super horny. So she starts to explore, like, the S&M equipment. And again, this guy had it all. Clearly, Crawford would have known about it. He has a huge cabinet that's just full of, like, leather and, like, you know, like, fetish wear.
Yes.
And she takes a leather jacket and she's rubbing it across her face. And then she turns to look at Crawford's sleeping body. Luckily, Bubba's taking his time. He's packing the van. Which gives McMichael's enough time to put into, like, she dresses, like, she puts on a leather bustier, like stockings, pumps.
Nice.
I'm loving this shit. I mean, it looks incredible. It's so fun. And she looks in the mirror and puts on lipstick and sort of admires herself. Unfortunately, then she starts sexually assaulting Crawford, who again is unconscious.
Not great.
And covered in welts and rashes and burns from the eel attack and is also completely hairless. And she reaches into his pants to touch his dick and then licks his fingers. And she goes to straddle him and clearly was going to try to fuck his unconscious body when Bubba walks in and says, what the hell are you doing? And he says, he says, I told you to get dressed. And of course she gets up and says, I am. So then because he's conscious and in the room, I guess, she starts seducing Bubba. And Bubba's pretty torn, and Byron Crampton looks good as hell.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Bubba's like, I do know that there are all those monsters, but I am merely a red-blooded American. And he almost kisses her, but then he whips her around to stare at the mirror, and he says, look at yourself! Is that who you are? And she says, I don't know. And it's funny, it's like, the issue is that she's a scientist who's going to endanger her own and other people's lives. The issue is not
that she looks hot as hell in fetish wear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get what.
But again, like S&M or like extreme sex is like the proof of an extreme depraved mind. Yeah. rather than there is a guy upstairs who's so dripping wet that we should be dealing with this.
Wettest guy ever.
Suddenly, Crawford sits up and Ben screams, "He's turning it on! Pretorius is turning it on from beyond!" And they all run upstairs, but it's too late. The resonator is up and running. And of course, supernatural insects start swarming them. And they immediately start swarming Michael's and Crawford's faces. So they have to like fall to the ground and
the beyond
fetal position.
Is full of beyond. Things I'm not into.
Yeah, we've yet to meet a normal thing
They're
from
not
beyond.
Like, by the way, there's like really good
an
oranges
H&M.
Here. It's like, no, it's right. Just like nonstop, like horrific animals and beings.
Right, yeah. It seems to be a goo-based economy, goo-based society over in the beyond.
Not for
Bubba,
us.
Bubba, seeing this, runs over to get the fire axe and he hacks through the cable, which should work. But then like the axe gets wedged in the floor and the electricity is able to pass through the metal of the axe blade. And that's not on you, Bubba. We couldn't have known that was going to happen.
Who could possibly understand electricity?
Unfortunately, Allison, he has a flashlight, grabs a flashlight, and he's looking for something else to like cut the cable. And he drops the flashlight. And when the beam falls on him, it sort of draws all the insects to him. And Michael screams, but it's too late. Bubba has been consumed alive by insects from the beyond. You hate to see it, Allison.
I am unhappy about that.
And it is this incredible, incredible shot where his body is like a dripping wet skeleton in clothes. Like you see his little skeleton hand, but that's then funny. His head is just a normal head of the actor.
Oh.
It's so good.
That's great.
Suddenly, Pretorius appears again. And if you thought the way he looked sucked before, Allison, it's way, way worse now. His body looks like a huge wet chair made of tumors.
What?
And his head has sort of grown into a stalk. So instead of like a neck and a head, it's sort of a long, thick, phallic stalk that sort of comes up, like a sort of prehensile.
I don't like it.
And then out of his forehead comes a flopping pineal gland. So it's literally like this, the phallus coming out of his forehead. And he calls for McMichaels and says, "Kiss, kiss, my dear," which of course made me think of, Brahms from The Boy.
Yes.
A lot of kissing going on.
Does she want to kiss him?
Not now. I think she's like
not
she's
it.
Out. She's back out. Yeah. You know, I think she was like aroused towards the human men, but when Pretorius was around, she is not into him.
Okay.
Is what we're to understand. And Crawford grabs his head screaming in pain, his own pineal gland fucking hard as a rack. I don't know, you know. And Pretorius grabs Michaels with his, you guessed it, gigantic tentacle arms.
Oh,
and
yes,
tells her, and this to me, I'm like, this is the most well, there's two fascinating lines. This is the first of it. It says, "I'll go into her mind and then she'll go into mine. It's the greatest sensual pleasure there is." And I'm like, that's so interesting because on paper, that's actually good. Like, that's what consent is.
Right. That's both are like mutually intellectually wanting that, like,
yeah, like I know what she wants. She knows what I want. And we can sort of be there
together.
And it's interesting to have those kinds of lines where it's like, can you imagine anything more depraved?
Right.
It's like this is what's wrong with society. Yeah. I'm like, isn't that what we all hopefully are getting out of sex? Of like, I mean, not every time, but like, you know, having
best
a conversation.
Case scenario.
Best case scenario. And I thought that was so interesting. It's like, a monster from beyond is suggesting what seems like a really great way to have sex, which is a conversation with one another and to know each other's minds. But of course, Crawford screams, "You never knew how to give pleasure, only pain." Again, did you ask any of these ladies this? We don't know this.
Yeah.
Now he's definitely insane. We can agree with that.
Yes, that seems very clear.
And he screams, "What's happening to me?" And Pretorius screams, "You're evolving into something that never existed before, Crawford. Let it out." And Allison, Crawford's head fucking splits open and a huge stalk-like penile gland phallus explodes out. And Crawford cries, "It's so beautiful." Fortunately, McMichaels has used the sort of mayhem to grab the fire extinguisher and starts to hose down the resonator, which freezes it. And so it starts short-circuiting.
Great. Smart.
And screaming, "Die, you fucker." And the machine shuts down. The machine shut down. Now we're back at the mental institute. And what the problem is now, Dr. Block thinks that they have both gone insane. And he, like, they're operating.
Like,
yeah.
Given the limited information, I'm sure that they have, it's like, well, what's more likely?
And she is about to go off on McMichaels. But what I think is funny is, like, before she does, she's operating on Crawford and sees literally, like, his pineal gland. They're in the OR and she's, like, trying to, like, fix the wound. And his pineal gland just sort of shoots out, like, snake-like through an anus-like orifice in his forehead. And then she comes up and berates
forehead,
McMichaels, like,
forehead
a
butthole?
Forehead anus. Yeah, forehead butthole. A head butthole. A head hole.
No, thank you.
And she comes over and is berating McMichaels and says, you cost Crawford his mind and another man his life. It's like, you didn't have any question about what that thing was? Like, if anything, I would say, like, you shouldn't have done this because this guy's permanently insane.
Right.
But also, what's that thing?
What's going on here?
Yeah, like, you did prove something. Like, this is not normal.
But she doesn't acknowledge
that. Yeah. But she says, Dr. Block, I know I'm sorry. Just let me go back there one more time, Allison. She wants to go back. And the cops arrive. And of course, Jordan Field from the DA's office is like, I barely want to do work ever. And I will be damned if I do work today.
Yeah.
You keep her here. Because if I need to, now I have to solve another murder. Great. So basically, they both sign off on keeping McMichaels at the facility. Because Dr. Block says, you're insane now too. Like, what you're saying makes no sense.
Yeah.
You fucked, not only did you harm these people, you fucked up yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. To the point where Dr. Block tells McMichaels, you're my patient now. If you have questions, I have answers. And says to the nurse, prepare the electroshock machine.
Of course.
To the point where even the nurse, who is a nurse at a psychiatric facility in 1986, says, we have protocols. You can't just demand
people when you feel like it.
But they force her to do it. McMichaels makes a break for it, but barely makes it down the hallway before the orderlies grab her. And Dr. Block forces her into electroshock therapy. And this is why they're all in there dealing with her trying to escape. That's why I don't see when Crawford wakes up and sneaks out of his room and he starts to eat food like on a tray that's like outside a patient's room and he spits it out and we get to see the pineal gland vision, which sort of has that like 80s. God, I wish I knew more about this. Like it's like a 80s sort of digital, like very saturated, like dark blues, neon greens.
I think I know what you mean.
Like early proto, like, digital vision, sort of. So we're seeing the pineal gland, and it's hunting Allison. Over in electroshock, McMichaels is trying to tell them, like, they're strapping her down. And she says, you don't have to do this. I'm all right now. You don't have to do this. Dr. Block goes to check on Crawford. He's gone, Allison. But there is a huge pool of blood pouring from under the door of the pathology lab. And I got to ask at this point, who will survive this movie?
Survive.
We've got a Dr. McMichaels about to get electroshock.
Yeah, she's gonna die.
We have Crawford. He has a pineal gland, but he is still mobile and
gonna,
alive.
Like, kind of be like, make it out of this alive.
Okay.
To live and tell the tale. Tell the tale.
Dr. Block.
I think that she'll die.
Okay. And then also Dr. Pretorius, who is in the beyond, but technically, I suppose,
I think he will continue to exist in the beyond.
Okay, great.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Unfortunately, when Dr. Block goes inside, she finds, of course, Crawford eating a human brain that he found in one of the human brain buckets they have in the pathology lab.
Chill.
And she says to him, and like the line delivery is so funny, where she says, please don't eat those. They can make you very sick. And he drops the brain and sort of, it seems like he comes to and realizes what he's doing. And he says, what is happening to me? She says, I don't know, but we're going to find out. Unfortunately, when she goes to lead him out the door, Crawford's pedial glands starts acting a fool. And he grabs Dr. Block and he clamps his mouth over her eye and sucks out her eyeball on his way to her brain.
No.
Meanwhile, they're about to electroshock McMichaels. Security runs in, fortunately, and says, something bad has happened to Dr. Block. So everyone runs out and she's able to escape.
Okay.
So again, in the chaos of all this happening, she runs out and she's able to get to the van. I was like, did she have the keys on her? Maybe they left the keys in the van. I don't know. Right. She gets to the van and escapes just as Crawford's getting outside and an ambulance is pulling up into like the little entryway.
Yeah.
And we see these two MTs are taking a drunk guy out of the ambulance on a gurney. And one of them starts to wheel him over while one of them is still in the back of the ambulance. And she looks and hears the drunk guy screaming. She runs over and he's sort of just in the doorway. And he says, I saw him, a man with a snake growing out of his head. Well, and she says, where's my other, my fellow EMT, whose name is Harley? She says, where's Harley? Why, he was just taking you inside. She turns Allison and sees Harley. And she says, Harley? Are you all right? Allison, we see Harley. He's on the ground. He's on the ground, clearly dead. His eyeball dangling out of his raw fucking gaping eye sockets. Like, yeah, he's not doing well. You don't have to ask, are you all right?
No, he's not doing well.
He's doing bad.
Bad.
As soon as she sees that, Crawford attacks the female EMT as the drunk guy screams. Luckily, he's just there to... Oh, he does suck her eyeball. Sorry about that. Murder the other EMT, sucks out her eyeball, and then peels away the ambulance. Of course, they're both, he and McMichaels are both headed back to the house. And as soon as she gets there, she goes to the attic immediately. We see the resonator, which is damaged from the fire extinguisher. And luckily, Allison, she's there to put a bomb on the resonator with a 5-minute countdown.
Okay.
Where'd she get it? I don't know. And I don't want to know.
Not great.
Also, 5 minutes is too long.
Way too long.
I'll give you two. I would say one is the way to go. A lot could happen in 5 minutes.
A lot could happen in 5 minutes.
And a lot's about to happen because she comes down the stairs only to be grabbed and dragged into the S&M room and put in cuffs by Crawford.
Of course.
And she says, why are you doing this? He says, because I love you, Catherine. I want to be together. She's like, okay, well, we can talk about that, but we have to destroy the resonator. If it's still here, we know now he can turn it on. He turned it on that last time. And if he's allowed to, he will devour us and the rest of the human race. We will be devoured into the beyond. We'll be subsumed into it. And he tells her, oh, but don't worry. It won't hurt. And as she screams, he sort of leans in and his pineal gland emerges from his mind anus.
Oh, no.
As he locks his mouth over her eyeball. She's able to wrench her face free, and she bites off his pineal gland at the root, Allison.
Good.
Fortunately, exactly, he collapses, but now he's sane. Like, that was sort of, like, driving
like
him
out. That.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he hits the ground, but he's like, oh, my God. Like, what the fuck's going on? Unfortunately, upstairs, Pretorius has been able to turn on the resonator again, and then he materializes in the S&M room. And here it is. He said that this is the lie that I'm like, God, like our understanding of sex is so insane.
Yes.
Because this is his. This is the last time we see this. We got to have a line to say how depraved it is. And his line is.
The greatest sensual pleasure there is to know the desires of another mind.
I know your desires, you impotent pig.
I think that's great.
We should all strive to be doing with
partners.
That's
actually good. That's what we, like, what? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. My pineal gland is off the charts, Allison. I was like, I could not believe that was like the
consider this line. Like out there beyond.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That's so funny.
Consideration of sex. That's wild.
And I do think, again, as a queer person, it's like I've just sort of started to engage with concepts of like people having like kink at Pride. Like, why is there kink there? Like, the importance of it. And I have more kink from the beyond. Okay. More kink and pride, more kink from the beyond, because clearly we're not there. We can have an understanding of like,
yeah,
the only thing that should matter is consent. There's nothing else that like
right.
two adult consenting adults
being on
in conversation
is the biggest,
right.
The only way to start.
I was like, man, this is, again, horror reveals to us important things. So yeah, maybe I was supposed to see this at this time in my queer journey. Cause I was like, you should know the desires of another mind. We should all want to know the desires of each other's minds.
Yes.
If we're having sex with one another.
Yeah.
Or if you listen to the podcast, we'll tell you, you know,
we'll tell you what we're up to.
And I wrote, I love horror so much. I thought it's great. And so Crawford screams, I know your desires, you impotent pig. She'll know too how pathetic you are, how you can't make love. So I think that's sort of like, oh, we're saying that he engaged in SM because he can't make love. And I guess we're like, that's as a man, like the worst thing that you can't make love.
Sure.
But I didn't know if you meant you literally, he couldn't literally have sex or he didn't know how to bring love into it.
Yeah.
But then I don't know. Because he also called him an impotent pig. I'm like, are you calling him literally impotent? Like,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
Complicated.
Yeah. But luckily, Crawford attempts to escape. Literally, also, McMichaels is still chained up. He abandons her.
Ugh.
This motherfucker, I love you. I'm gone. He runs down the stairs, but fortunately, Allison, he is descended on, but what I would describe as a sopping wet vagina pterodactyl that flies down the stairs.
Hey.
And again, the vagina of it all, I guess like it's sort of we had the penile, the phallus, and this is sort of
like a hack.
The pterodactyls, it's the face is sort of vaginal, like the lamprey eel.
Sure.
But yeah, it descends on him like a hat and then just starts consuming him head down.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Allison, now that Beyond is just popping off, everything's flying out, including the eels. McMichaels is still chained up and they start attacking her, but fortunately, they do her a solid and they bite through her, like her cuffs. So like her
bindings.
I know, really, the eels are really the low-key hero of this movie. And to distract the eels, she lights a matchbook and tosses it and they're all drawn to light, which I guess we knew from the flashlight earlier. Like they're drawn to light. Luckily, so she runs, she tries to run out of the house, which I probably would have done too, but the vagina pterodactyl's there and see Crawford's headless body. He's also been, and it's not like a ragged wound, which is even more disgusting. It's like this like flesh colored sort of like nub. Like it's like almost like their heads are like fully
like
pulled
off.
Yeah. Like sucked off. Yeah, exactly. Like it's almost like their heads are made of clay.
Yeah.
It's just like a little like thing. And so unfortunately the pterodactyl's there. So she has to run back up. And as she runs up into the attic, Allison, there are gallons of water pouring down. So if you thought it wasn't wet enough, baby, the house is fucking
so
filling up with water. And she runs in and she's again going to try to shut down the fucking machine. Pretorius is there and his mouth opens. He's laughing, cackling the whole time. And we see a human hand starts emerging from his mouth. And a body starts to pull itself out, and it's Crawford, and he's fully well and has hair. And he screams, run, Catherine. And I think we're to think he's been subsumed into the beyond, but there's still some part of him that's human. Mm-hmm. Because then he starts ripping Pretorius apart from the inside. So he's basically inside this gigantic, wet creature body, and they're fighting each other, tearing each other to pieces to the point where they are just a sort of a carpet of goo, like a piled bunch of blankets made of goo.
Sure.
And they battle until they are just both screaming skulls on stalks, writhing around covered in goo. And McMichaels did the thing that I would have done immediately the second I went in this house. She just fucking leaps through the third story attic window.
I don't see other options.
Right. Because she's just like, okay, I gotta get out of here.
Fuck out of here.
Bye. And as she does it, the resonator, finally, we hit the countdown of the bomb.
Yes.
The resonator explodes.
Long enough.
She hits the fucking ground and her leg breaks so badly, the bone juts through her skin. And all the neighbors rush out, including the neighbor who had the little dog, Bunny. Yep. And she says, oh my God, what happened up there? And we see Dr. McMichaels look up and her face is covered in blood. And she says, it ate him. And then she just starts hysterically laughing, her mind,
God,
again, shattered like a cup. shattered like a coffee cup, and screaming and laughing in front of all these neighbors as the house burns down. Beyond.
Beyond.
Neon, baby.
Wow.
Allison, uh-huh. What are some fatal mistakes that some people may have made in the film from Beyond?
Fatal mistakes.
Like, once you know the vibe of Beyond,
yeah,
don't go back. Don't do anything. Be like, okay, let's not engage.
And I guess maybe that's what, like, sort of like the fear of the Beyond is also like the fear of S&M and like the fear of like taboo or extreme sex of like, once you pop, you can't stop. Like, it, like you become obsessed. Like these, like, the idea of like both sexuality, like arousal and any kind of like, well, you better not become too aroused because then you'll go insane. And that is kind of how we think about sex. Like, it's like, we have to think about it in such a limited way because if you step outside of it, you'll be a pervert or like, it's like, you'll be driven mad. You'll go beyond it's reality.
The, yeah.
Fascinating stuff.
Setting the bomb for such a long time. Like, we could have wrapped that up faster.
And, you know, I don't know
going
when you
back
get a bomb
to the house at all.
Maybe like when you buy a bomb, it's already set for 5 minutes.
That
and
could
I wouldn't
like
know how
the
to
factory setting. It. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you stop, she probably stopped at the bomb store on the way there.
Yes.
I think they sell them at Costco.
Yeah.
It's almost like there were a lot of mistakes made, but I think the first one was the going back the first time, not taking Crawford at his word, because once she started to get affected by it, then it was kind of curtains for everybody once you sort of get within range of the Beyond. Mm-hmm. Huh. And then the spooky scale, Allison, where are we at?
A spooky scale.
I'm going to give this a 3.
Okay.
No, a 4.
A 4. Okay.
Because I think the goo.
Yeah.
And also like the eels.
Yeah.
The like mutations of like being a chair made of tumors as a man.
Yeah.
Like that stuff is scary.
Uh-huh.
But it's also so funny and fun and horny that I think like a 4.
And that is what made, like, this is a perfect, I agree. It's like, this is a perfect horror movie to me. It had everything. It was gross. It was horny. It was, like, seeking to have horrifying moments that really were genuinely shocking.
Yes.
And also, it had one-liners.
One-liners.
Oh, God. Yay. I love a one-liner.
What about you?
I'm going to give it a 4 as well.
Because
there were certain moments, like, when you, like, we initially see the eels when you finally see that he's a big wet chair made of tumors. Mm-hmm. There are some great moments. That being said, I do think like, you know, the experiment of it all sort of provides a framework, but I liked that this was kind of nonstop and they were compelled to come back rather than, you know, trying to explain it in an emotional way. It's sort of like they were driven to want to be near it and to engage with it. And that is, I mean, look, as much as I criticize it, we are all indoctrinated into that belief.
Yes.
About like, well, once you find something you like it too much, things get a little out of hand. And I think there's something compelling about that. So I'll say 4.
All right. A 4.
And Allison, what a pleasure.
What a pleasure.
Horny month continues apace.
Horny month.
We hope everyone's being as horny as possible this month. We mean that.
Be horny. Be as horny as you would like to be.
Yeah. Whatever that means to you. What horny means to me, you know? Yeah. You don't have to be horny. Whatever your baseline horny is, I think is perfect.
And
on that note.
Yeah. Join us Sunday, February 26th when we do M. Night Shyamalan's new movie for a live show, Knock at the Cabin. Tickets at moment.co/ruined. And I guess all that's left is for us to ask if you wouldn't mind.
Keep it horny. Keep it horny this month.
Keep it wet.
Keep it wet.
Ruined is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder. Recorded and edited by Kat Iosa.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.